following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would, guys, turn to Luke 16. I'm cutting my sermon in half almost. I have a bunch of notes. I'm just going right to the meat for the time's sake. It's going to be a sermonette, Christianettes. Luke 16, verse 10. Let's go right to the nut here. 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in the much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Okay, this is what the Holy Spirit is quickening me. Of late, we've been crying out to the Lord for demonstration of His Spirit and power. We've been crying out to the Lord for quite a while that we would see the blind healed, the deaf hear, the lame walk. I'm grateful for that testimony this morning. Praise God. Somebody's cancer was healed. I don't take those things lightly. Praise God. We've seen several cancers healed now in the last several months. I want to see the point where our medical expenses would go down because healing is going up. Amen? Where the only kind of insurance you need is perhaps catastrophic, but not anything else. But here's the thing the Lord's quickening me. The increase will come only as you're faithful with what's before you right now. And that's what it says. He that's faithful in the little will be faithful in the much. If whatever God has called you now, He will give us increase as we're faithful with what we have. And, there was a prophetic word, actually two prophetic words now given, particularly Friday night, that, you know, we're up to the ankles in this. In other words, we need to walk out our faithfulness in regard to obedience and praying for the sick. Can you amen? Now, look, today is Sunday, February 24th. Right? And what is next Sunday? Is it March 2nd? That's a whole week. How many people would you suspect you will encounter in this coming week? Somebody throw out a number. Just your typical week, anywhere. I know you're going to encounter your three kids and your husband. 20? Encounter, maybe actually talk to. Just talk to, just like a person at a cash register or a gas station or... How many? Yeah, you gotta... How many people do you suspect you will see with your eyeballs this week? You actually will see... How many people do you think you'll see this week before next Sunday? Now, I'm not talking about you glance at a football stadium, you know. I'm talking about... You're just going to see them wherever you go. How many? A lot of people. How many of you are willing to tell the Lord this week, I'm available? That's it. I'm available. I was showing Dave this morning a website of a ministry in California. I really like this ministry. And they have it's a very slick website, and it's a church that moves in significant signs and wonders. They even have a school, two-year school, supernatural ministry school, signs and wonders school, where young people go and learn how to move in signs and wonders. That's the school for 2 years. And for class projects, they'll go to malls and roam around looking for sick people. But what's cool is on that home page, there's a little block that says testimonies. And you click it, and it has the dates. And one of them, the latest one was February 20th, tumor gone. And you just go back. You know, and it's the last 2 weeks. It was all these signs and wonders. So apparently people in the church, as there's a signs and wonder, they submit it. And it's updated apparently every 24, 48 hours, signs and wonders. And you know what that does? Just builds faith. Amen? That builds faith to hear what happened here. I'd like to have something like that on our website. Amen? Luke 17:5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know why they said that? Because He had just said that if your brother wrongs you seven times a day, comes back and says, I repent, you have to forgive him. And they went, oh Lord, increase our faith. Yes, any husband or wife would say that's a marriage verse. Amen. So they said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, I want to show you something incredible here. We're just going to look at the very next verse. I want you to see this. This is amazing. We're not going to look at this whole passage, just the very next verse. He said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, I would submit that is a very, very small seed. And you can say to the sycamore tree, be plucked up and go plant in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, that is an amazing verse. And you know there's a message in this verse. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. He's saying the key is not a lot more faith. It's effectiveness with what you already have. See, you're saying increase my faith, implying I have small faith. So he's saying, well, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, that's pretty much your implication. You can do this. Notice he didn't say, oh, you want to increase your faith? Okay, let's pray and kick up your quiet times, increase your fasting time, read the Bible more. Does he say any of that? What he basically says, and this is incredible, that the key, you're missing it. It's not increase my faith. It's what are you doing with what you got? What do you got or what are you doing? If you got a speck, you have power inside that speck you don't understand. You do not comprehend the power in the speck. I'm going to say that again. You do not comprehend the power in the speck. You know, the universe is created in a funny way. The universe is created in a way you wouldn't think. It really is weird the way the universe is created. In fact, man did not know this until the 20th century. We knew it by faith, but it was practically experienced. And we live in something today called the nuclear age. Interestingly enough, the nuclear age was birthed about the time the nation of Israel was birthed. I do think there's a corollary. But there was this gentleman. He worked at a patent office. He was a Jew. And he had kind of a menial job, sloppy personal life. But he was a smart guy. His name was Einstein. Okay? Around the turn of the century. And as a hobby, even though he worked at the patent office, kind of a bureaucratic job, as a hobby, he worked with math theorems. What do you do for your hobby? Go home, sit between customers or something, diddling with math theorems. And he came up in 1905. They call 1905 the Wonder Year. If you're all familiar with Einstein. It was a year that this young guy, he wasn't but in his 30s or something, 23rd. He put forth certain proposals to the scientific community that rocked the world. Had countered, it dared to stand against the very Newtonian understanding of the universe. See, Isaac Newton in the 1600s established some basic physical laws of physics and let them out that upon all understanding of the universe was Newtonian, based upon the philosophies and teachings of Newton. But this man dared to come up there and stay to it all and say, no, it's all wrong, it's all backwards, that's not how the universe works. In the Wonder Year of 1905. It's fascinating. You ought to study a little bit about this. And when he came with, there's one particular formula he came up with that we're all familiar with. He did many things. It's fascinating to study what he devolved into over the next several decades. I don't know if you know it, but he's actually the one that wrote the letter to Roosevelt, the president, in 1938. And said, I suggest you look into something because if you don't do it, the Germans will first and they will win the war. And it's Einstein that wrote that letter suggesting that Roosevelt begin something called the Manhattan Project, which was the beginning of what it took to develop the first atomic bomb that caused us to win the war. But we don't. But the Germans were working on the same thing. There were German physicists. You know what? Y'all know where Einstein was from? Germany. He defected early in the Nazi rule. Fortunately, aren't you glad he came on our side? But he developed this thesis called E equals MC squared. Now, y'all have all heard that before, but I want to share some with you because there's an understanding here and it ties into what Jesus just said. See, what Jesus said, I'm going to say it again. He says, you don't know the power you have that exists in the little you have. You don't understand the power. In fact, the teaching title is The Unimaginable Power in the Smallest Obedience. You don't know the power you have in the little you got. The universe is created in a funny way. There's unimaginable power and energy in the smallest container. Let me say that again. You don't think that. You think big power has big containers. Lots of power has to do with lots of mass. That's not how the universe is created. In fact, to me, it supports the understanding that really all power can be almost in no mass, because there's a spiritual dimension to the universe. But the word, the phrase, or the formula E equals MC squared, in case you don't know what that means, I don't know if anybody heard of it, it means energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. C represents the speed of light. Now let's ponder that a minute. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Now the speed of light is a big number. Did y'all know that? The speed of light in miles is approximately 186,000 miles, listen, per second. That's fast. They said there's only one thing faster than the speed of light. And that's when you're sitting at a red light and it turns green and the guy honking the horn behind you. That was funny. Work with me here. Some of y'all are writing that down like, oh. It's true, though. That thing turns green. Dude, you better not pause. Ah! So I did a multiplication. I pulled out a calculator. My calculator could. I had to go on my computer and pull the computer calculator to get this number. So what is the speed of light squared? Well, the number is, you ready? 34,596,000,000. That's the speed of light squared. Now listen, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, 34 billion something. Now, if you understand anything about basic fundamental math and equations, he's saying that the M doesn't have to be very big for the E to be big. Because E equals M times this incredible 34 billion number. So M can be very small and it's still going to be a big number. Am I right? Do you follow? E equals M. Doesn't have to be big. It can be very small mass. M represents mass. It can be very tiny mass because it's multiplying times this 34 billion number. So what E equals MC squared means is that there is unimaginable power in tiny mass. Did you hear what I said? That's what it means. There is unimaginable power in tiny mass. Believe it or not, it has to do with the atom. And I'm not talking about Eve's husband. I'm talking about the atom. A-T-O-M. That if you look at the structure of an atom, it's something happening. It's not a little block. It's some kind of neutron and a little proton thing going around it, an electron. That's right. Proton, electron spinning around. And it's got holes in it. And there's some kind of motion in an atom, and that is the smallest divisible portion of matter. All right? And there's this, in an atom, there's motion and there's energy. And what they do not understand is why do those electrons not spin off? Why do they faithfully stay circulating around or navigating around or what? Well, to keep your finger there, I'm going to show you why. You ready? Colossians 1. Here's the answer. You can share this next time in your physics class, kids. When the professor is talking about, they call it the nuclear glue. I'm serious. That's a phrase they have. They say, well, what holds the atom together is the nuclear glue. Nuclear glue? Well, that's because they don't know what it is. I'll show you what it is. Colossians 1. You ready? 1:17. He is before all things. It's talking about Jesus. And by him all things, what? You know that word means are held together. Guess who the nuclear glue is? Jesus. And guess what's going to happen at the end? Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3:11. No, 3:10. You know what Jesus is going to do to end everything? You ready? He's going to let it go. He's just going to let it go. Because it says in 2 Peter 3:10, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. See, they talk about the Big Bang, right? They just got it wrong. The Big Bang's at the back end, not the front. And the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works therein will be burned, seeing that all these things will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be? Folks, the bottom line is, Jesus is going to let, I think, at the atomic level, everything go. Now, where am I going with this? Energy. You have no idea? Ask your husband at home. She needs to ask her husband at home after this. You ready? I am going somewhere with this. Bear with me. You didn't do well in math, did you? It's okay. No problem. This is not a math lesson. All right. I am going somewhere. You ready? I'm going to tie this in spiritually. What is the thesis that Jesus said? They said, increase our faith. He said, look, a tiny seed has great power. Another place, he said, you can cast this mountain. And so it's really contingent upon the faithfulness of the little you have. And we don't understand the unimaginable power in the little we have. That's my point. And E equals MC squared. We don't understand the unimaginable power in the little. In a grain of sand, there is enough energy to power a city. That doesn't make sense. The universe, that don't make sense. You might say, well, maybe like a chunk of coal this big. No. There's unimaginable power in the smallest. Now, the problem is splitting the atom. Because of the nature of so many elements, there are only certain elements that are splittable, that are conducive to the chain reaction. The word is fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, fission, whatever they do to cause it to break and split other atoms. And it happens to be a uranium atom. The element of uranium and plutonium are very few elements that can actually be split. But the reality is this is true in every atom. See, those are just splittable atoms. But, for instance, let's look at this young man up here. This black shirt he's wearing. This little piece that I have my finger on. There's a lot of power in that little piece of cloth. Just difficult to split. To access the power. So you say, where are you going with all this, Pastor? You ready? Obedience activates and releases the inert dynamic of the Spirit of God. That's all I'm saying. It's the same thing. Holy Ghost is trying to split you. He's trying to take a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing, sunder of soul and spirit. You remember that verse, Hebrews 4? To split you open, so to release the power. All I'm saying. The title is The Unimaginable Power in the Smallest Obedience. It don't take much. Faithful in the little. Just dare to walk through a little fear. Oh, you're standing in the line at Kroger's and you're absolutely terrified because this little grandma lady comes up with a limp and a cane. Give me a break. I know it's the hardest thing in life, but dare to turn and say, hi. Oh, it took a lot. But already the angels are coming down from heaven around you because you said hi. And then you say, I notice you have a cane. Yes. You look like you're hurting. Yes. Can I pray for you? You mean here in front of God and everybody? Yes. Okay. You'd be amazed how many people say, okay. Wow, you're standing there in the store. Little lady says you can pray for him. Just a little tiny faith. And you're right there, you don't feel like you got any faith. You just got more fear than faith. But you're obedient. See, the obedience is splitting the atom. And you're going to, all right, it lands. What do I do now, Lord? Heal. Come, Holy Spirit. Have mercy, Jesus. Yeah, it really don't matter what you do right then. You've done most of it with the faith and the obedience. Trust me. You know, just getting Isaac up there laid out, he did his deal. You know, that was all he wanted. Just get in there. I'll take it from there. The ram was caught. He was able to take care of it. You dead. Come, Lord. Heal. You know what? Right then, I'm telling you, you're releasing something. One thing, you're releasing yourself from fear. And you're going to start seeing that God has there's a power inside of you. And you want greater faith? Just be obedient with what you got. Amen. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Two more verses real quick to close. Hebrews 11:6a. 11:6a. Yes, we're not even going to read the whole verse. I put that in my notes. Hebrews 11, 6a. This means the first part of the verse. You ready? Are you ready? Without faith, it's impossible to what? That's A. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13. It's easy to remember. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now listen carefully. Would you agree that love is without a doubt the prime and supreme command of the Lord? But faith is the key to be pleasing to the Lord? One more verse this morning. I'm going to show you how they tie together. Last place. Galatians 5:6. To bring this to a conclusion. Galatians 5:6 brings the whole principle of loving with the whole principle of faith. He says here, Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Folks, here's the bottom line. How many of y'all would like to activate the power of your faith? The unimaginable power that's inside of you, analogous to the power in the atom. It is a fundamental reality of our civilization that man has discovered the phenomena of unimaginable power in the smallest element. But you know, in the spirit, we need to discover the same thing. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There is a power inside of me. The problem is, a lot of people not, you know, Jesus talked about you put a basket over your candlestick. He said, you're a city set on a hill that can give, you're the light of the world. And you have no clue what you have. You have no clue who you are. You're seated in the heavenly places where you are called to bring down the kingdom on this earth. We just live in the doldrums. No clue who we are. So God says, look, just start with what you got. And here's the key. It takes love. It's all about being loving. You see, don't worry about your faith. See, the whole deal was, Lord, increase our faith. He was trying to say, faith's not the issue. It takes a tiny bit of faith. What's the issue? Loving. Ask the Lord to give you a compassionate heart. You know, every time Jesus worked mighty miracles, it said, most of the times it says, being moved with what? Compassion. He would be moved with compassion. He'd see that little funeral and his heart would break. He would just, you know, when your inner sides are moved with compassion, something releases in your faith and you're willing to reach out because you want to love. Whatever you do, the least of these you do to him. So when you see somebody that's hurting or ill or sick or critically wounded or just debilitated in any way, say, Lord, give me compassion. Help me get out of my deal, my focus for me. Help me get out of my... I appreciate it. Kelly and I went to the nursing home, you know, the other day. And she had all of her kids in tow, which works really well in the nursing home. They love those little kids. But I saw, as Kelly's been there several times, I saw a real compassion on Kelly as she would be encountering these elderly people. There was just a love and a compassion. She'd done it several times. And, you know, as a result, there was an effectiveness. There was a joining. God showed up when we would pray for them. So here's the answer. Reach out, pray, offer to pray for the sick, spend time with people, serve, radical. But God will show up and back you up. He'll back up the little faith you got. If you're just obedient. Canada, man. Y'all hearing the message this morning? The unimaginable power and the smallest obedience. So let's just be challenged. This is what it's all about, going to church. Yeah, some of y'all heard so many sermons, you become a sermon. I mean, it's getting to the point I could just stand here and say, sermon number 98. And y'all would go, yeah, I got that, dude. That was great. Good anointing. Right? Isn't it time we do it? Amen? Do it? Let's all stand. Sorry about going a little over, but I thought we need to move forward. Say this after me. You ready? Satan, you ain't nothing when it comes to Jesus inside of me. Jesus, I am determined to be available. Please send needs my way. Open my eyes. Inconvenience me for the furtherance of the kingdom. I trust you with my week, and I'll bring forth testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Everybody said, God bless you. Go in peace. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.